Technology is great. It just takes a little longer sometimes. I want to mention, too, one thing we did not mention and so on, is tonight is the last segment about video games and watching different Disney programs and so on. That's the last video is tonight for Vespers. So hope to see you there.
Have you ever stopped to consider what a precious promise this is? In Proper Education, it says the early education of youth shapes their character in this life and in their religious life. Solomon says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This language is positive. The training which Solomon enjoins is to direct, educate, and develop. In order for parents and teachers to do this, they must themselves understand the way the child should go. And that is the reason why the Adventist school system exists. All around the globe, Adventist schools are seeking not just to prepare students to take their place of service in the world, but to be ready for heaven, to take their place in heaven. And as the thought continues, it says this embraces more than merely having a knowledge of books. Books are good, but they're not everything. In order to attain this type of education, the physical, the mental, the moral, and the religious education of children must all have attention. And we're going to go a little over some of the history of the Adventist school system. It was in the year 1872 when Ellen White published her first essay called Proper Education, and that was the very year that the first Seventh-day Adventist church opened in Battle Creek, Michigan, their first church school. And to give us an idea of how vast the Adventist educational system is, today we have 879 schools, 8,582 teachers, and 80,541 students. Worldwide, 6,709 schools. Adventist education overall is the second largest denominational educational system in the world, second only to the Catholic schools. Our Adventist educational system is very vast. And now it's Dr. Bryant's turn.
So we've had Adventist schools since the late 1800s, and it's grown very large. And the question is, how does it stack up against the national norms, against public school systems, et cetera, et cetera? So in around 2005, the Education Department from La Sierra University undertook a huge study. It's called the Cognitive Genesis Study, and we'll talk a little bit about it. The author of that study is Elisa Kiddo. She's got a doctorate in education. She's one of the professors at La Sierra. And the lead author of this study, she says, you know, amid all the buzz of education reform, the Seventh-day Adventist school system might seem... Yeah. There. Can you hear me okay? Okay. The Seventh-day Adventist school system might seem to be an unexpected place to look for models of improving student achievement. But by educating not only the mind, but also the body and the spirit, Adventist schools outperform the national average across all demographics. Now, the This study was incredibly large. You saw that across North American division, there is over 80,000 students. This study included 30,000. I looked up on their website. It was actually 50,000. And it's a four-year study, including grades 3 through 9. And what they, one of the main things they found was that each year that the student was in Adventist schools, as they looked at their achievement scores versus national norms, they were higher than the national norms. And the longer they stayed in, the higher that percentile ranking went compared to the national norms. So Dr. Kiddo continues in saying, even we were surprised by the results. Our four-year independently financed study showed that students at the Adventist schools outperformed their peers at the national average in every subject. One of the most dramatic findings they felt was that students who transferred to Adventist schools saw a marked improvement in academic achievement. The more years a student attended an Adventist school, the higher their performance was. She goes on and asks the question, how do we account for an Adventist advantage? We believe it lies in the holistic approach these schools take, a commitment to not only educating the mind, but the body and the spirit. Unlike public schools, Adventist schools across the country have a standard curriculum. It includes the traditional 3 R's, along with an emphasis on spiritual and physical development. And there's a coherence and a connectedness between Adventist schools that don't exist in other systems. Some of the biggest predictors for student achievement, according to their statistical models, include whether students have a positive spiritual outlook, have a healthy relationship with their parents, and take care of their own health. Now, all three of these are attitudes that can be cultivated, and they point to the importance of a holistic approach to education. Now, we're going to look at 6 myths that exist. We're going to look at 3 right now, the other 3 a little bit later. 6 myths that exist about Adventist education. The first myth is that that students, and I hear this out in the public media, that students can't learn science in a classroom environment that emphasizes creation. Over and over again you hear, oh, if you don't understand evolution, you can't understand science. That is a myth. And the fact is that in all areas of science, students in Adventist schools are well above the national average. They are superior in their ability to question, investigate, and explore the world around them, which is the basis of science. That's how science works. And so the Adventist school system is based on creation, not on evolution. Even with that, their understanding of science is definitely enhanced. And the second myth is that spending time on spiritual objectives, much of the school time is spent on spiritual aspect, well, that's going to reduce learning in other areas, such as reading, writing, and arithmetic. Well, the fact is that students in all the grades of all sizes outperform the national average in all subjects. The longer the students are in the Adventist schools, the better their achievement and abilities. And then the third myth is that that small schools can't provide good learning. And that's a myth. The fact is the students score high or higher, even in small schools as in larger schools.
Let's talk for a minute about that first myth about creation versus evolution. And as we go to our next slide, we find just a reminder that our children and grandchildren and neighbors' children belong at Three Angels School, and here's one important reason, and that is because in the question of origins, the Seventh-day Adventist schools emphasize creator and creation over evolution and chance. And a couple of important points to keep in mind. Some of our students who leave our school here will end up in a public school, either public high school or a public college, and in those settings are guaranteed to encounter biology course or courses that are grounded in the overarching or undergirding theme of evolution as the explanation for why things exist. And then finally, during these biology classes, it is very likely that evolution will come up on a daily basis, not as simply one of the ideas in society, but as the explanation for our existence. So two questions. Where do you want your children to learn about evolution? Do you want them to learn about it in an Adventist school or in a public school? They're going to learn about it in an Adventist school, but they're going to learn about it as an ideology in society, not as the undergirding explanation for origins. Number two, where do you want your children to learn about God? At a public school or at a Christian school that assumes God and God's presence and work in our daily lives? Education makes this statement. It is the work of true education, or I should say Ellen White in the book Education states, it is the work of true education to train up a child or the youth to be thinkers and not mere reflectors of other men's thought. That is the basic assumption of science, that science looks to explore and discover, not simply parrot what others are saying. And so true Christian education grounds a person in faith in God and faith in Him, and at the same time encourages that basic sense of personal responsibility for what we know and what we do. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, we are reminded that by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we see did not come from anything that can be seen. God is creator. That's a fact of life, and it is emphasized in Seventh-day Adventist schools. Science under the microscope. This is part of the cognitive genesis study, looking at science in the classroom and science in Adventist schools. So Bible-based Adventist schools or curriculum teaches that we are created by God. We're created by God not that long ago. This is distinctly at odds with the theory of evolution that's widely accepted in scientific circles. A couple of points to bring out. Number one, well above the national average in science in all grades. That's the Adventist reality. Number two, we are the highest in the sub-area of scientific inquiry. So no lack in Adventist circles of interest in science or in the belief that science and the study of science has great value and importance. Number three, higher in science than would be predicted by ability scores. Even higher in science the longer they were in the Adventist school system. In other words, being a Seventh-day Adventist, believing in creation as the explanation for life, and following the Adventist approach to education leads to an increased involvement in science rather than a decreased involvement. Our students finally are superior in their ability to question, investigate, and explore the world around them, says Elisa Kido, project director of the Cognitive Genesis Study. If you desire an excellent science education for your children, send him or her to an Adventist school. And finally, a reminder from Job. But ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds of the sky, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you. Or let the fish in the sea inform you which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this. In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind.
Oops, back up. So, as our world becomes increasingly a complex place and students face an increasingly complex world around them, and our culture bombards them with negative, frequently godless messages, Adventist schools, we believe, are a vital haven for spiritual and moral development. They can offer a safe place for young people to question and to grow. Again, from the Cognitive Genesis study, they found education reform has taken center stage lately as Americans struggle to close the oft-condemned achievement gap. But quietly in our midst, the second largest Christian school system in the world has been steadily outperforming the national average across all demographics. The holistic curriculum that we use as a model helps to overcome that gap and the disparity in academic performance between low-income and minority students and their peers in higher-income communities. But even more, it shows how to narrow the gap between mind, body, and spirit, truly educating the students for success. So the last three of these myths that exist in Adventist education is myth number four, and that is that schools with limited facilities and equipment, they can't provide superior learning. Well, the fact is that even though Adventist schools generally don't have the same level of facilities or equipment to match other private or public schools, the students still have superior achievement. Myth number five is that Adventist schools are not the best for exceptional students. Well, students at all ability levels have achievement higher than what would be expected based on their ability level. And then myth number six is that Adventist schools are not best for minority students. Well, yearly growth in achievement for students in Adventist schools was greater than the average growth in the national norm groups for students in all ethnic groups, Asian, African American, Hispanic, Caucasian, all of them.
So what about the future? We're talking about if they're in school here at Three Angels. What about when they go to college? It says, building on a strong elementary school foundation, Adventist high schools provide critical preparation for life, college and everything after, from university prep courses to the arts to the vocational training to meeting special needs. Our commitment to quality is unflinching. And it's a statistical fact, then, that Adventist education prepares students to be uniquely successful. They are academically prepared, college-bound, clear thinkers motivated to achieve. The ingredients are simple: great teachers, the latest technology, and an obsessive commitment to quality improvement. Now, it's not easy growing up these days. I think most of you would say that. Young people face challenges, pressures, and temptations unimaginable over just a few years ago. In a world of turmoil and constant change, parents increasingly look to Adventist education to offer their children the tools they need to survive and succeed in this life and for eternity. Now, a lot of times I have parents that come in and say, yeah, but, okay. In the same study, they also found the percentage of Adventist schools versus the public schools. The graduates who attend college is 85% from Adventist schools. Public schools is 66%. The percentage of graduates who complete college degrees is 80%. Public schools, 14%. The applicants who were accepted our medical school was 34%. From public schools is 9%. Teachers that are certified, that's another thing that we get a lot of times. Oh, teachers in Adventist schools are not certified. Yes, they are. In fact, usually more, because we have to have state certification as well as denominational certification. And so it's pretty much 100%. And in some states, it's only 58%. I'm not sure what it is in Kansas, but I know you do not have to have a teaching certificate in Kansas to teach. Now, so, some things you may say are important, but just how can everything be tested? Around the world, remember, it's not just the school over here. We have a worldwide curriculum that actually comes out from the North American division, and that is what we all go by. So that's one reason, too. What it was saying in some of these studies and everything is that if a student leaves here, they go to another Adventist school, it's the same curriculum. It's not a different curriculum. So we have young lives that can be transformed. It happens in morning worships. It happens in prayer. It happens in community service projects, our mission adventures. In many little ways, sometimes each day, our children find God and a future to their journey to excellence. And isn't that worth something? How about everything?
We're going to go through 6 reasons why we think Adventist education is worth it. Reason number 1, Adventist education introduces students to the Bible as a framework for thinking and evaluating.
Holly's first Bible study. When traveling to Florida, the Sullivan family planned to stop overnight with Uncle Neil, a bachelor who lived on a farm. The next morning after breakfast, Holly's parents went out to see some friends and left their daughter with her uncle. Holly, I have some important accounts to go over while your folks are away. Here's a picture book to make you happy. You can keep it. The 8-year-old girl felt disappointed, for she had hoped Uncle Neil would take her for a walk over the farm and let her ride a gentle horse. Instead, he said, "Don't bother me while I'm busy." After an hour, the uncle closed his account books and talked as if pleased with himself. "That's done. I've quite a sum laid up for a rainy day." Holly asked, "Do you mean you laid it up in heaven?" The farmer looked uncomfortable. This question reminded him of what his parents had said when they were alive. "No, Holly, I don't have my money up in heaven, but my cash is in banks, savings and loan companies, and in different investments. I could live on the interest I get." "Money is safer up in heaven," Holly suggested, and she rushed to get her Bible and read Matthew 6:19-21, which she had heard in church school. The niece could not tell if her uncle was pleased or not, but she asked, "Do you pay tithe, 1/10 of any money you get?" "Does the Bible tell us that we should pay tithe?" asked Uncle Neil. Holly found Malachi 3:8-12 and asked her uncle to read, "Will a man rob God?" It had been years since Neil Sullivan had read those verses. When the Sullivans stopped overnight on their way home, Neil said, "Don, I've been going to church since you were here last. Also, I turned in a sizable check for tithe. I feel happy now." "What made the change?" exclaimed Holly's father. "Holly's Bible study that she learned by going to church school," said her uncle.
Adventist education introduces young people to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
A mechanical pencil and a lesson in love. I was 6 years old and in the fourth grade at a local church school. I really liked chips and mechanical pencils, so I could hardly contain myself as we stopped to look in the store of the Queen Elizabeth. We had just boarded for a voyage to England. In a glass case, I spotted mechanical pencils with sketches of the Colonel line on them. Unable to find one displaying the Queen Elizabeth, I settled for one commemorating the Lusitania. and persuaded my father to buy it for me. During our short stay in England, we visited an elderly widow and had afternoon tea in her home. The grown-ups were talking and I was bored. Then I remembered my pencil. I took it out of my pocket and began twirling the lead in and turning it back out. I was sitting near our hostess, and the next thing I remember is handing her the pencil. She became strangely silent as she turned it over in her fingers. Then, after a moment, she spoke. The living room had become very quiet. After a moment, she spoke. "You know my husband went down with cell Lusitania?" The next thing I remember, my father took me aside and whispered, "It would mean very much to that lady if you would give her your pencil. I'll get you another one. It's up to you." And so I left without my pencil, but with a great sense of contentment. I still think sometimes about that pencil and a woman in England. I think about what my father asked me to do. I know this was a moment I would never forget. Whenever I think of that English afternoon, I also think of that afternoon near Jerusalem involving a father and a son, about loving, being unselfish, and about the sacrifice Jesus made for each one of us.
Adventist schooling at its best leads a person to a lifelong dedication of service to others.
A note in my mailbox. The note I picked up from my mailbox at school read, "Call Margaret at 555-6167. Both the name and the number were unfamiliar to me. But as an Academy Automotive instructor, I got calls all the time from people who were looking for someone to fix their cars. During my lunchtime at school that day, I dialed the number. "I'm calling for Margaret," I said. "Yes, this is Margaret," a voice answered. "This is Ron Wynn. I have a message here that says to call you," I continued. "Oh, I'm glad you called. I'm a nurse at St. Luke's Hospital. Yesterday, on my way home from work, I was driving down 290 when my car started acting up. It was late at night and I was alone. I was so afraid to pull over, but finally my car just quit. So I coasted to the shoulder. I sat there for a few minutes wondering what to do. Suddenly, two young guys, about 20 years old, pulled up behind me and got out. I didn't know what these guys were going to do. I was so scared. They asked me what happened, and they said that they were from the sound of things, that they might be able to get the car running again. So I popped the hood. I sat in the car praying that these guys weren't up to no good. A few minutes later, they yelled at me to try to start the car, and I couldn't believe it. It started right up. The guy slammed the hood and told me the car would be fine, but I should take it somewhere soon and get it checked out. I was so grateful. I thanked them over and over and offered them money, but they wouldn't take it. That's when they told me that they were former students of yours." "What?" I asked in surprise. "Students of mine? Who are they?" "They wouldn't tell me. They just gave me your name and the school's number and made me promise to call to thank you." I couldn't believe it. I didn't know what to say. Besides teaching my students about fixing cars, I always tried to teach them things about life, about going the extra mile, being honest, and using what you know to help other people. The thing is, I never really knew if the students learned any of this. And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Matthew 25:40.
Adventist schooling helps students to view every topic from the philosophic perspective of Scripture.
Honest debate. As Betty Jo hurried home from the grocery, she counted her change. $2 too much, she said to herself. What shall I do? A voice seemed to say into her ear. Why don't do anything? The lady gave it to you, didn't she? Yes, another voice deep down in her heart seemed to say, that's right, you didn't steal it, but the lady made a mistake. That $2 doesn't belong to you. Take the money back right now, the voice insisted. The girl arrived home, set the bag of groceries on the kitchen table, and tried to forget the money. But all during supper, the battle raged. Take it back, keep it, take it back, keep it. That night, when Betty Jo knelt by her bed, she had a hard time saying her prayers. She didn't sleep very well either. When the morning came, Betty Jo knew what she must do. On her way to church school, she stopped by the corner store. Last night, the cashier gave me $2 too much change, the girl explained to the owner, and I brought it back to you. $2 too much? Are you sure? The owner beamed. You are an honest girl. You could probably use that money. Here, he continued as he handed the bills back. You keep it. It isn't often these days that we find a girl like you. As Betty Jo walked on to school, she thought about the story of Achan they had just studied in Bible class. That story could certainly have had a different ending if Achan had chosen to obey God.
One of the major contributions of Adventist schools is to bring young people together in sufficient numbers so they can make lifelong friends and meet spouses who share their vision of what is important in life.
Great answer. In our church school kindergarten class, we constantly encourage children to recognize and accept strength in themselves and others. We daily promoted the concept of family. We nurtured, embraced, and loved each other. One of our strongest class rules was we will only say kind things to each other. The children became cheerleaders for one another in attempts as well as successes. When someone had difficulty with a task, another child often said, just do your best. Standing ovations were given throughout the day of acts of effort. One day, the children were seated on the floor, eagerly relating experiences about springtime. When Sonny raised his hand, but Sonny couldn't speak because of the safe, inviting environment with we had established, his enthusiasm and eagerness to learn never seemed to diminish. I recognized him each time he raised his hand, and we all gave him a time to respond at his own comfort level, hoping this would be the time he would talk. Then, after a few minutes, I responded, as if he had answered, Sonny, that was a good try. We then proceeded with our lesson. When Sonny raised his hand again this day, the class and I eagerly waited as usual. And to our great surprise, he spoke. The children and I were so surprised and joyous, the eager energy in the room was overwhelming. Nicole spoke first. That was a great wrong answer. The class immediately stood and gave him a standing ovation.
The influence of godly teachers and other adult role models is also very important. Lessons are best learned when students hear the same message at school, home, and church.
Christian Education Parable. Once there was a young teacher who wanted to reward one student for making the most progress during the school year. So she gave three candidates an assignment to bring to school on Friday something that had helped them the most during that school year. On Friday, the three students stood before the teacher. The first student said, I have brought my mother. She has encouraged me, prayed for me and helped me in many other ways to be successful this school year. The second student said, I have brought my pastor. He has studied with me and helped me realize that God has a plan for my life. I wanted to study hard this year so I can someday work for him. The third student said, I didn't bring anyone or anything because the person who helped me the most this year is you, teacher. You believed in me and stayed after school so I could get my work done. The teacher didn't know what to say since it takes all three of these people to assist in raising a child. That is the story of Christian education. It needs three places of schooling, the home, the church, and the classroom. If one of them is lacking, the other two won't work.
So is Adventist education worth it? This is from the Journal of Adventist Education, an article entitled, Is Adventist Education Worth It? The author says, whenever church members discuss the cost of Adventist education, I believe they are really asking, is an Adventist education worth the cost? Homes and automobiles are also expensive, but this does not necessarily deter people from purchasing them. What makes the difference? I believe part of the answer lies in one's level of commitment and willingness to sacrifice. However, the greater part of the answer may lie in the perception that our schools do not provide a quality of education that warrants commitment and sacrifice. And hopefully you've seen this morning that the quality does, I believe, match the amount of commitment and sacrifice that is required for Adventist education.
Is Adventist education worth it? I believe it is. True education, something that we've been mentioning many times this morning, means more than the perusal of a certain course of study. It means more than a preparation for the life that now is. It has to do with the whole being and with the whole period of existence possible to man. It is the harmonious development of the physical, the mental, and the spiritual powers. It prepares the student for the joy of service in this world and for the higher joy of wider service in the world to come.
Adventist education. Every Adventist teacher is committed to moving the hearts and the minds of children entrusted to them upward, which is the title of our sermon today. Above all else, their desire for their students is that they will develop a personal relationship with Jesus.
And once again, I would ask, is Adventist education worth it? And two reasons why Adventist education is worth it, I believe. Number one, it can help young people find meaning in their lives by moving their hearts and minds upward in school as well as at home. They can discover more about God's plan and His plan for them and their lives. And finally, an Adventist education just may be the gift that gives for a lifetime and for eternity. And as we wrap up today's program, I would encourage you to read the final slide and consider making this commitment.
your heads for prayer. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have heard, learned and received and heard and see in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
Our service is dismissed, but I would like to invite you, if you are interested, to join me up front for a special prayer for Jen and the family. But our service is dismissed, so this is only if you'd like to come up, go ahead and join me up front. Otherwise, God bless you. Join us for fellowship lunch. We'll have it right there in our fellowship hall, and there will be a little bit of space while lunch is